Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from back in Washington, D.C., Mr. Ian Murray. And we're going to be talking about the peak oil. We're going to talk about the oil crisis. And certainly we saw the price of oil get over $70 a barrel. It's down a little over $60 a barrel now. And we're breathing a sigh of relief. It's coming down. And yet the price of oil and gasoline is about 41% over what it was a year ago. And I think that we're going to be in for a big surprise all across America this winter, with the price of natural gas going up somewhere between 40 and 70%. The price of heating oil are going up probably 30 or 40%. And gasoline, I don't really believe is going to come down for a good long while, if ever again. Anyway, Mr. Murray is with a think tank back there. And what's the name of that think tank you're with, sir?
It's the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
Competitive Enterprise Institute. So why don't you give our listeners your take on what's happening with the price of oil?
Well, I think what we see is sort of a perfect storm of unfortunate occurrences for the oil industry. The first problem is that in America, the refinery capacity is basically stretched to its limit. Most of the refineries are, in fact, doing the jobs of about 10 different refineries, because local laws and environmental laws require the oil industry to produce so many different varieties of gasoline that refineries are doing much more than they really should be doing. Secondly, we have increased global demand for oil, which is countries like China and India are needing more and more oil as their citizens get richer and demand the sort of amenities that we take for granted here in the United States. And so although there is plenty of oil to go around, lots more people are asking for it. And thirdly, there's the effect of the natural disasters of the two hurricanes, which both hit some of the only areas in the country where we're actually allowed to do explore for and take oil out of the ground, and then the refineries that help get that from the ground to our gas tanks in our cars. So it's a whole combination of factors, all of which put together have driven the price of oil up far beyond what most people expected it to do this year.
And, of course, the great tragedy is that, Mr. Murray was saying, we have been allowed to drill down in the Gulf, but they were so susceptible to hurricanes and to natural disasters. What most people don't understand is that there's lots of oil in other places in the United States, and we are not allowed to get that. In fact, many of our oil wells and even natural gas wells were capped back in the 1970s. You know, if you're an oil company, if you have a shortage of gasoline and oil, you make a lot more money than if there's an abundance. And could it possibly be we've created artificial shortages? Are the oil companies making more money than ever before? We need free enterprise. We do not need government interference. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Ian Murray from the Competitive Enterprise Institute back in Washington, D.C., and we were talking to him about what's going on as far as the skyrocketing price of oil, and of course it's backed off from the $70 a barrel, but I think we're going to find heating oil in the east going up dramatically. Here on the west coast, I think we're going to find natural gas going up dramatically, and as Mr. Murray was saying, we almost have a perfect financial storm, as it were, when we've seen what Katrina and Rita have done as far as in endangering our refinery capacity. We haven't built one refinery in the United States in 30 years. Why is that? Why? It's those wicked environmentalists. They won't let us. And, of course, all those government regulations won't let us build refineries. We have less refineries, probably 30 or 40% less, than we had 30 years ago. And then, of course, so many of our oil platforms were damaged during this recent storm. So, Mr. Murray, what's going to happen? I mean, do you see the price of oil stabilizing where it is now? Is it going to go up or going to go down? And what can be done from a free enterprise situation to begin to bring competition back so there would be plenty of oil?
Well, I think to take the two questions in order, I think what we've seen, you know, because of that perfect storm of coincidences, I think what's happened is an oil price bubble, and that bubble should start to shrink, if not pop completely, over the next few months. It'll take a while for the oil companies to get the capacity back up and running after Katrina and Rita hit so much of the nation's oil capacity, but once that's happened, then things should stabilize.
But of course, will the price get down to where it was, say, a year ago? You know, back down with oil at $30 a barrel or so, or do you think it's going to stay at $60 or $70 a barrel?
A lot of oil industry analysts I've talked to and read over the past couple of weeks, who have normally been right on these issues, they were right in predicting that the price would go up. They're now saying that they think that the price could go down certainly to $40 a barrel, if not 30. So we might get back to levels that earlier in the year we thought were very high, but now would be a blessed relief in many ways.
And so if we got it back to $30 or $40 a barrel, why, everybody would breathe a sigh of relief. But, you know, the question is, could it get a lot lower? If we did the right things, we'll be right back here with Mr. Murray. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Mr. Ian Murray from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. How was it that we became so dependent on the Arab countries and on OPEC and on Venezuela and Mexico and Nigeria for our oil? Why aren't we utilizing all the capacity for oil production here in the United States?
Well, the main reason for that is because it's actually much cheaper to get our oil from those other countries. Saudi Arabia is basically floating on oil, and all you have to do is to stick a pipe in the ground and suck it out, and you've got it. Whereas here we have to do rather more things to it. So it's cheaper for the world to get its oil from the Middle East and other places like Saudi Arabia. But there are also, as well as just that simple natural economy for getting it from there, we've also made getting oil out of the United States much more expensive by our environmental laws. We've stopped exploration the various sorts of seismic inventories that you can do now. We haven't allowed those up until the energy bill passed this year. There are there's probably lots of oil off the coast of Florida. There's probably lots of oil off the coast of California. There's definitely lots of oil in the Rockies, but we don't know exactly how much. And we environmental laws have stopped us from finding out how much. Now we should be able to find that out. So that's a start.
And how about Alaska?
And Alaska, we know that there's a lot there. We know that that there's the equivalent of 30 years worth of oil imports from Saudi Arabia under the Alaskan National Wildlife Reserve, and we're on the verge of getting through Congress a measure that will allow us to explore there and to drill and to get that oil out and start bringing it down to help the country. So we know there's lots there, and hopefully we'll be able to start using it now.
Well, Chris, one of the most incredible things is all the propaganda we hear about the beautiful Arctic Wildlife Reserve up there. Well, you know, I've been to Alaska, and you get north of Anchorage, and you know, you see a tree 4 feet tall. That's unusual. I mean, there's permafrost in the ground, and by the time you get up to the North Slope, you know, the ground is frozen about 11 months out of the year. So, isn't there been an awful lot of hype about it is disturbing this pristine wilderness just to simply block efforts to get the large amounts of oil and natural gas that are available there?
Absolutely, and the media have played into this propaganda. Whenever you see on the television, whenever they talk about the National Wildlife Reserve, you always see these beautiful mountain wildernesses with caribou gambling and wonderful trees and beautiful crystal clear lakes and so on. That's considerably to the south of the area we're talking about. The Arctic National Wildlife Reserve is a huge area, and the area we're talking about where the oil is only a tiny part of that, right on the north coast, which is basically a swampy plain. When it's not covered by ice, it's basically a very cold swamp, fly infested, not very nice at all. Yes, there are caribou wandering around there, but there are caribou that wander around in the places just to the west of the wildlife reserve, where there's drilling already, and they've adapted perfectly well to the drilling, and in fact the size of the caribou herds there has actually increased.
In fact, I understand the caribou love those pipelines because it's a source of warmth, you know, in the middle of winter.
Very much so, and the roads that lead to the facilities, that they like those very much as well. In fact, you'll often see caribou wandering out onto the oil platforms themselves, according to people I know up there.
And, of course, a lot of the Eskimos who live there, they love this idea because it's going to give them a job. It's the people in Washington, D.C. who are doing everything they can to block the natural oil reserves that we have to make us dependent on Saudi Arabia, because it is so cheap to get it out of the ground over there. You know, as Mr. Murray was saying, you put a pipe in the ground and out comes the oil. You know, they can get it out for really, how much does it cost to get the oil out of the ground in Saudi Arabia? Do you have any idea?
It's a pittance. I mean, it's very, very small marginal cost for getting a
I mean, are we talking about a dollar a barrel, $2 a barrel? What?
It really is so small as to not to be noticeable per barrel. Yeah.
And of course, it can be turned over to the oil companies and brought in here at $70 a barrel. And isn't somebody making an awful lot of money on this?
Indeed, oil companies are at the moment making record profits because they have a product that everybody wants at the moment. A few years ago, back in the late 90s, the oil companies with profits crashed when the price of oil basically went down to under a dollar a gallon. And they were all in severe difficulties. So, you know, they had their poor times a few years ago. Now I think they're having some rich times. With any luck, they'll be allowed to spend those profits on investing in their business and building more refineries and increasing capacity, so that this sort of problem doesn't happen to us again.
Well, of course, what are we going to do about the refineries? I mean, if you have 30 or 40% less refineries than you had 30 years ago, we are just really on the verge of total chaos, because, of course, we can't get by in an industrialized society without gasoline and oil and jet fuel and diesel and all those things that come from our refineries. It's pretty impractical to bring them in from foreign countries, although it can be done, but it drives the price up. But we ought to be having our own refineries here. Who is it who has effectively blocked the development of the industrial capacity that we need to maintain an industrialized society?
Well, what happened was back in the 1970s, there were lots and lots of refineries, And when deregulation occurred, all the subsidies that were going into making those very a lot of those small refineries economically efficient disappeared, which meant a lot of those refineries have to close because they were no longer economically viable. And about the same time, we started putting lots of environmental laws in place, which then made a lot more refineries economically unsustainable. And during the big oil company mergers of the 90s, when, as I just said, oil company profits crashed and so a lot of oil companies merged, yet again, the oil companies had to close down a lot of refineries because the marginal cost of the environmental laws just made them too expensive to operate. So now we're left with a very small number of refineries which are all operating at capacity, and the oil companies just cannot afford to build new ones, because building new ones from the ground up according to the environmental laws we've got at the moment just means that they'll be losing money on those new refineries. So we're stuck with the system we've got at the moment while we still have those laws.
And of course, we would have had nuclear power for nuclear energy as a source of electricity rather than having to burn natural gas, had it not been for the environmental movement actually delaying the building of these nuclear power plants. Of course, they've shut them down altogether, but those last few that were built, instead of taking 3 or 4 years to get through, it took 20 years to get through. Lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, and then who's funding the environmental movement? Nobody ever asked that question. Money coming from the great tax-exempt foundations. Money coming from the great corporations. Some of them, even money coming from the oil companies. I wonder why that would be. So, basically, we've created artificial shortages. We've driven the prices up. And some people are making fabulous amounts of money. But if we could get the free enterprise system working, why we could really overcome this, couldn't we, Mr. Murray?
Oh yes, very much so. I mean, as I was saying earlier, that everybody wants energy. Everybody needs energy. We like energy. The things that we can do with energy. So energy companies have a huge market. If they're allowed to produce the energy that we want, then they will make money, and we will be very satisfied with what we've got. And that will help us make more money. As you say, the free enterprise system really does work very well. Unfortunately, we've stuck so many regulations for very dubious benefit in the middle of this system that it isn't working very well at the moment. And as a result, we have these crunches every now and again that cause us to sit back and think, you know, what exactly are we doing here? And so I'm glad that Congress is taking a look at this. And in fact, the House of Representatives just passed a bill which should make building new refineries easier. Whether it will get through the Senate, I'm not sure. But you know, it's a start. Some people are thinking about this and trying to do something.
I see. Now, what will this do? Will it allow these things, refineries, to be built without all these environmental regulations? Can it circumvent the regulations been placed on the building of the refineries by the states? How will this new legislation work if it is passed by the Senate?
Well, what it does is it produces new federal requirements for the procedures involved in getting a new refinery built, and basically it says to the it puts responsibility on the Secretary of Energy, and if the Secretary of Energy doesn't object within a certain amount of time, then you can go ahead. So it really removes a lot of the roadblocks that are in place at the moment.
And of course, it's because they put these roadblocks in, they've created the problems. This is why communism doesn't work. Communism doesn't work because the master bureaucracy keeps anything from getting done. But why do we have all this bureaucracy in a free society? Or maybe we're moving in exactly the same way that every nation with a centralized planning system moves towards total chaos, and that's why our founding fathers did not want all power in Washington, D.C., because they knew that once that had occurred, why we would have a government truly as venal as the one we had to revolt against back in 1776.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinex is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the oil shortage, and if you really get into the background of why we have this, you'll find out that back in the late 1960s and early 1970s, the government ordered many of the oil wells and the gas wells here in the United States to be capped, and then has effectively prevented drilling here in the United States, has effectively prevented drilling up in the Arctic wilderness area, the Arctic wildlife area, and so many other areas where there's really lots and lots of oil. And, of course, what's happened is we've become really dependent upon the OPEC cartel. Now, the OPEC cartel is a cartel. Cartels are well, they're against the law. We have laws in the United States against cartels, and the government takes action against all cartels except the oil cartel. Why don't we deal with the oil cartel and insist that they be competitive?
Well, one of the things about OPEC is that it isn't a very effective cartel. It isn't a very good cartel because there are so many oil-producing countries like my own native land, Great Britain, that aren't members of OPEC, and they are able to undercut OPEC when it tries to act like a cartel. Russia at the moment, which is not a member of OPEC, is vastly increasing its oil production capacity, and basically we don't have to use sanctions or anything like that against OPEC. We can just say to them, look, okay, we'll go to Russia and get our oil from Russia instead, and that makes OPEC think again. And so there are some very very useful market pressures that we can bring to bear on OPEC without having to go down a legal route, which tends to clog everything up and cause problems in the long run.
But of course, that's not going to help the people who are going to have to pay 40% or 50% more for their heating oil this winter. That's not going to help the people who, because of all of these various complicated and deceitful methods, are going to have to pay another 40% or 50% or 60% for their natural gas this winter. I mean, we can talk all we want to about, you know, how we will break the back of the cartel. But the average individual, I can't go over and say to the Russians, hey, I want to buy your oil, because this is all done by the big international corporations, and they have managed to get the price of oil up well over $60 a barrel, even to $70 here a few weeks ago.
Well, one of the things that is actually driving this price up is not so much demand from America as demand from China. And The Chinese, as we know, being a communist government, take a very different view of how the market should operate from what we do. And so one of the things they've been doing is trying to lock in long-term contracts. And in order to get these long-term contracts, they've been helping to bid the price up. And so that's been a real problem. With the communists bidding the price up, it means that we've had to pay more for our oil as well. Hopefully, the Chinese will realize soon that they've made a very very big mistake in doing that, and that particular pressure will start to ease.
And of course, my understanding is that the Chinese now are drilling in Saudi Arabia. The Chinese have locked in the oil sands up in Alberta, Canada. It almost looks like they're even going to buy out Unocal here in the United States, one of our largest oil companies, and had not the administration intervened, that would have happened. The Chinese, who we have actually created by our foreign policy, and loans from the World Bank and the Agency for International Development, and the IMF and the Asian Development Bank, we've created one of the best competitors money could buy, haven't we?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of mistakes made in dealing with the Chinese, and certainly, as you say, helping the Chinese to build their capacity up through loans when they really didn't need them. I mean, those loans would be much better placed with countries that don't have the vast resource and manpower and ingenuity that China has. The Chinese have played this game very well so far, but I think they may have gone a step too far in committing themselves to paying vast amounts of money for oil that they may not need as much of as they think.
All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with Mr. Ian Murray from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, talking about, well, the oil crisis, talking about peak oil, talking about the fact the world is running out of oil. But the question is the world really running out of oil, or is this simply what happened back in 1973 when we were told the world was running out of oil then because there weren't any more dinosaurs? And since there weren't any more dinosaurs, we were going to have a shortage of oil.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Ian Murray from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Mr. Murray, before we go on, would you like to get the website of your organization out and tell people what sort of information they could get from your group?
Yes, our website is www.cei.org. And if you look at there, you can see all of our work on energy and the environment and our efforts to try and reduce regulation in that field. Work on food safety, on chemical risk, on what we call death by regulation, where the government has introduced regulations which actually kill more people than they save, and many other aspects beside, all from a free market, free enterprise standpoint.
I love that idea of the death by regulation and more people dying, you know, from all the regulations and the terrible things that they do, destructive to our economy and destructive to humankind. Well, you know, we were talking before we went to the break about the origin of oil, and I remember when I went to college, and we were told, of course, that coal came from, well, a lot of leaves and vegetation and forests falling down and pressure and heat, and now we had coal, and then oil. Oil came from, well, it came from all sorts of algae and fish and all of these things trapped under the ground, and of course they eventually by heat and pressure they became oil. And you know, it's amazing, nobody ever challenged these presuppositions. After all, we call them fossil fuels, and if you analyze them, why, you did find some DNA or products there that suggested they'd come from a biological origin And then along came a fellow named Thomas Gold. Would you want to discuss Professor Gold, who actually challenged what all the other scientists had been teaching and really believed for so long?
Well, Thomas Gold was a very great scientist indeed. He was originally an astrophysicist and wrote a lot on the origins of the universe, and was in fact one of the founders of the viable scientific theory for the origin of the universe to the Big Bang, known as the steady state theory. And he put a lot of very great science into that, and is still very well respected by his peers in that field. Later in his life, he went on to develop what he called the abiotic theory of oil, which is that it doesn't have a biological origin. This is a very interesting theory, and one that sadly has been ignored by the scientific establishment, who really should be doing a lot more work on this, and whether to see whether the theory is viable or not. Unfortunately, the scientific establishment has tended to just dismiss the theory without without good scientific explanation as to why, and it would help us a lot in knowing a lot more about our planet if this theory were to be explored more.
Well, of course, Professor Gold felt that that the world really came, at least initially, from methane, and many of the other actually planets have the methane is the base for the planets. Their atmosphere is methane, and he came to the conclusion maybe before the Earth was here there was methane, and there are vast amounts of methane down in the center of the Earth, and of course this then is what seeps to the surface and produces the natural gas that we have, and then of course that it comes up and it liquefies and it produces the oil. And the reason that it has biological elements within it is that there are bacteria that live very deep down in the earth, and these bacteria feast on the methane, and of course that's why we see their products in the oil. Now there are other people who really believe that it is the bacteria that create the oil by ingesting the methane and getting oxygen out of the rocks, taking the oxygen which is part of the rocks, and this is how they breathe, and this is how they live and how they die. And he wrote a book called The Deep Hot Biosphere. And is there any evidence to suggest that he was actually right, that if we drill deep enough we will find either oil or natural gas?
Well, as I said before, unfortunately the scientific establishment really hasn't put much work into exploring Professor Gold's theory. So there isn't really much evidence either way. Professor Gold has a theory which at least has a prima facie case for further investigation, but unfortunately the scientific establishment just doesn't really want to tackle the question. It upsets too many theories, when that happens, the scientific establishment tends to close ranks.
And of course, what Professor Gold pointed out is that many of the depleted oil fields will fill up again with oil. Nobody ever wants to ask why that is, except the Russians, of course. They took what he had advocated. They drilled down to over 44,000 feet, and of course, this is where all of the oil. Russia today, it said, has the largest oil reserves, even larger oil reserves than Saudi Arabia. Have you heard that?
Well, it's quite possible, especially if the Saudis. The Saudis have been exaggerating how much oil they have, but as you say, the Russians actually were Russian scientists working on this theory before Professor Gould was, and Professor Gould was, and so if there has been any science done on this, it has been by the Russians, and also by the Swedes. Actually, the Swedes have done done some oil exploration in places where Professor Gold says there should be oil and where the traditional theory says there shouldn't be. Unfortunately, all the results so far have been rather equivocal. There's nothing really to disprove Professor Gold's theories yet, but also there's not really enough to say yes, we have to junk the established theory and go over to Gold's.
Well, of course, the abiogenic means, of course, it did not come from certainly degenerative algae or fish or dinosaurs, whatever you want to, and maybe what you learned in college really wasn't true. Now, certainly as we look and see what's going on, what can be done? Will the new energy legislation really solve the problem? And what can our listeners out there do to help? Because if the American people aren't involved, if the people who will benefit by creating shortages are able to continue creating shortages, then we'll be paying higher and higher and higher prices. Because with shortages comes higher prices. With abundance, of course, comes dropping prices. There are certainly some people who benefit from shortages, aren't there?
Yes. I mean, there are always people who benefit from shortages because they are able to exploit that to increase the use of their substitutes or other alternative methods of leveraging the small amount of whatever substance it is that we need. I think in respect to your question of what can the American people do, I think they basically need to get the message out to people who want to stop energy use, that energy is good, energy is important, we like energy. Energy is something that we use in our daily lives, and we need to be able to use it to make our daily lives even better, to save lives and to save labor. So the way that they can do that is by writing letters to their local newspapers, by getting opinion pieces in their local newspapers, by getting their views in front of their state and federal representatives, by just getting the message out that we shouldn't be ashamed of using energy, that energy is a good thing, that it has helped America become the wonderful, prosperous modern society it is today, where people live longer than they ever have before anywhere in the world, and where we have a life that is, you know, by any standards easy and wonderful. And people who are trying to stop us using energy are essentially asking us to take a step backwards, to have people live less long, to have people do more backbreaking work, to take away all the things that have made America the wonderful society it is today. And these people need to be stopped and told that Americans won't stand for it anymore.
Well, I think that I agree with you totally, and I think it's so important for our listeners to understand there really are people who have a different worldview. They believe in sustainable development and Agenda 21 and interfering with the free enterprise system and driving the price of oil and heating oil and energy and diesel and all of these things up so high that we'll have to lower our living standards. And, of course, conservation will be the cry, oh, we've got to conserve energy. I mean, it was so ridiculously cheap to produce electricity before they interfered and created all the problems. You know, we could live a very comfortable life. But they really want us to stop using the air conditioning and to use fans. They want us to stop using heat in the wintertime and be colder and put on a sweater. And that way, somehow, we're going to make the better world a lot better. There really are people out there, Mr. Murray, who have a different worldview, who would like us to have to work harder. Aren't there people like that?
Yes, indeed they are. And these are people who fail to recognize that a lot of the social advantages that they claim are good things have been made possible by energy. The use of air conditioning in the South has made so many people in the South of this country so much richer because they're not spending half the year hiding from the sun. the use of they often decry big cars. Big cars have reduced the death rate on the road by making their occupants safer. In fact, the National Academy of Sciences worked out the downsizing of the American motor fleet as a result of introducing fuel economy standards in the 70s contributed to 2,000 more deaths on the road each year. You know, that's tens of thousands of people who would be alive today if they'd been allowed to continue driving big cars. I expect to see an increase in the death rate on the roads in the next couple of years as a result of people deciding to switch away from SUVs to smaller cars in the near future. So these are all things which the environmentalists, those people with the different worldview, just don't take into account. And if they're talking about a better society, then you know they really need to take stock and think what exactly will their policies produce. I think they'll produce a much worse society.
I agree with you totally, and I think that these people have a different worldview, but I think that they are well organized. They are working with the full support of the mass media, with the great full support of the great tax-exempt foundations and many of our corporations, and certainly the entire environmental movement is being misused by these people who want to change our whole standard of living and get it back like it was before the evil white men came to America. And so I really think that something has to be done. Now, what are the chances that they're going to be able to get this good energy bill through the United States Senate? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the House has already done a lot of compromising. They've dropped some things which would have actually been very good from the bill in order to get it through the House. And I think I think we need to the Senate needs to recognize that. They've dropped plans to allow natural gas drilling in the outer continental shelf off Florida. That was very contentious and probably would have led to both Florida senators voting against it. Now that they have less of a reason to do so, so I think that the bill as stands is. The least bill as it were possible that would actually do some good for the nation. So I'm very much hoping that the senators will actually realize that the House has compromised, will drop their small objections and will actually get behind this bill and try and help America with it.
All right, fine. Well, I hope that our listeners then will write to their senators and let them know and that really we're in a crisis situation and that they are responsible because the government has created so many of these problems. Now, one of our listeners just called in, and she doesn't have access to a computer, wants to know if there's a telephone number where they could get access to your organization and perhaps get more information.
Certainly, we're only too happy to send out hard copies of things when we can. Our telephone number is 202-331-1010.
Give that one more time, please.
It's 202-331-1010.
And I, of course, I've read the material that comes out of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is why I asked Mr. Murray to come on the program. I think it's very valid. I think that people have to understand that all of these problems are man-made. Because there are people who have a different vision of the world. They really don't want people to be comfortable in the summer with air conditioning. They don't want them to be warm in the winter. No. If they can lower our living standards, they think that somehow this will be fairer for the world. And why should we be so comfortable here in America when people are so miserable in other countries throughout the world? And you say that's crazy talk. Well, unfortunately, this is the reality. We live in a world gone mad, and sometimes I think it is only those of us who really understand what's going on are considered to be insane. And the lunatics hold the keys to the asylum. Well, Mr. Maria, do you have a parting thought for our listeners before we let you go?
Well, I think that the way to understand the environmental movement is that when they when they talk about America displaying leadership in the environmental arena, what they mean is not that America should lead, but that it should follow, that it should do the same things that that Europe has been doing. And we know the result of what Europe has been doing: 10% unemployment, stagnating growth, population declining. It's a civilization which is coming to a not very glamorous end. And what America should be doing is actually providing leadership, going forward and saying things, saying that we're doing this because we believe this is best for humanity, and if other people do what we do and follow us, then mankind will benefit and the world will be a much greater place. And that's what environmentalists don't understand.
God bless you. I think you're absolutely right. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
It's been a pleasure, Dr. Sam.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this afternoon's program here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, here is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly, and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let me just point out, you hear a lot about the fact that the Arctic ice is all melting, and it's obviously a case of a global warming. Ladies and gentlemen, the Earth has gone through warming times many before. Why do you think that Greenland is called Greenland when it's under 50 foot of ice today? And because, of course, 1,000 years ago it was completely green. This is a normal, of course, cycle, the normal warming cycle. These take place every 1,000 years or so. In fact, the warming cycle began back in the 1600s. But you're never going to get this from the controlled medium. Why? Because they want the Kyoto Protocol. Because, of course, it will force us to lower our living standards and of course, impoverish our people. This is what it's really all about. If you understand that it is an attack on the very infrastructure of our society, then everything makes sense. If you honestly believe there's global warming, you really need to get our 4-tape set on global warming and all the other information we have. You need to understand you're being done in, you're being lied to by the media. Now, to begin to put it into perspective, let me suggest our syllabus on sustainable development. There is a master plan, and it's right there. The Earth Charter is written by Mikhail Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, and Stephen Rockefeller, and it is the master plan for the impoverishment of our people. And then, of course, we have a sustainable development video. I think it's Sustainable Development, the Road to World Government, because that's what it's about. Every problem facing us from the environmental point of view, well, the solution is a new government program to take away more freedom. We have a video, we have a 4-tape set on sustainable development. You get them all together, the syllabus, the video, and the 4-tape set. You'll know more than most college professors know, or at least that they'll teach. And then, of course, you need to understand the spiritual forces behind this, and that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or see the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of that. You need to know about Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And of course, we have the 4-tape set. Aleister Crowley and his friends, we have 4-tape sets on Satanism and deliverance. And we'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. Pull down all of the information there that will take you into the spiritual battle. If you'd like to know about this scam, which is the oil shortages that's driven the price of oil and natural gas and electricity up so high, we have a 4-tape set on the electricity crisis, a video on the electricity crisis, and, of course, a syllabus on the electricity crisis. We put it together back in about 2001, 2002, when we had the phony electricity crisis designed to raise the prices. They had to tell the people, we're going to lower the price of electricity. That's why we need competition. We're going to bring competition into this monopoly, and we're going to hear that from the government to help you. And truly, they knew exactly what was going to happen. And that information is so vital today. And, of course, our latest newsletter deals with peak oil. And if you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can get a copy of our latest newsletter, or, of course, you can find it on the Internet at radioliberty.com. And that's the September newsletter on peak oil. And then, of course, we want to remind you, we are having an all-day session here in the Monterey Bay area. That's November 19th. We're going to have a seminar bringing in outside speakers. It'll be a great day. We're going to be serving lunch, so we have to know if you're going to be here. You'll have to make a reservation. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you're from outside the area, we'll send you maps and, of course, a list of the various places you could stay. And then, of course, remember, we do carry the big Berkey products, and we're going to have other crises in this country. You need the ability to have clean or pure water and drinkable water. And if you have a big Berkey, you won't have to worry. Or if you have fluoride in the water, of course, you need to get the fluoride up. But call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.